Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Cause you know it's time for the Ash Kip and Lutzy podcast.
106.9.
Monday morning.
Hey-o.
Hey. How are you, David?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. I watched a lot of horror films over the last few days, though.
Really?
I thought you didn't like horror films.
Yeah, I'm getting in on a bit now with the advent of Netflix and such things.
What about...
Watch some shockers, though. You've got to be careful with that star system they have in place now, because you'll see a good poster on the screen.
Mm.
You know, well, that looks good, and then you realise it's got half a star.
Yeah.
There's some stuff... There's a lot of movies out there now, but a lot of stuff is just like... home video. I think some of them are shot on iPhones. Like, it's ridiculous.
Those stars are good, though. If you go below four stars, you're in danger.
That's what I'm
much
saying. There's a lot of back end these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watched last night The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Wasn't bad.
Sounds truly wonderful. Awful.
It's an uplifting piece.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
We actually spent the weekend at SeaWorld, or Saturday night. But I feel like I've had like a full-on holiday, because after the kids' sport and everything on Saturday, SeaWorld's got this deal on that you can go and stay there at a discounted rate, and gets you entry into the park, and then there's stuff that you can do, like we did yesterday, where you go behind the scenes and they've got the dolphins. They've got a baby dolphin.
Oh, yeah,
so we went and saw the baby dolphin and then did the whole SeaWorld experience.
Mm.
But on the Saturday night, we went to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the teppanyaki. They've got a teppanyaki joint there. And so we went and had Japanese at the teppanyaki place. And they, and the guy's cooking up all the food and all the rest of it. And then at the end of it, the boys had dessert and they had pancakes. And the chef gets a banana and he cuts the banana in half lengthwise.
Yeah.
And then cooks it on the teppanyaki plate. And as it's cooking on the teppanyaki plate, he puts brown sugar and cinnamon on it.
Mm.
And then he cooks the pancakes and he stacks the pancakes up. And Archie's sitting there looking at it. And the kids are mesmerized by this guy's performance, because he'd been doing the whole, they do the thing with the omelette. He's been doing all that.
And trying to make so much noise too. That bang,
yeah,
bang,
yeah,
bang,
yeah. And he's flipping things up into his hat and all the rest of it. And,
yeah.
And he's cooking the pancakes. And Archie's going, "That's my pancake there." Like, and he was stacking the pancakes up.
Yeah.
And Archie doesn't like bananas.
Oh,
and,
no.
And then the guy was, it took Archie longer than it should have to clue onto the fact that the banana was going to go onto his pancake, because he was watching, he was watching all the other bananas get placed on pancakes, and he goes, that's my one there.
Yeah.
And then you could just see, it was like a little kid's world just came crashing down, because as the bloke picked up the banana with the caramelized banana to put it on Archie's pancake, he's going, "Yeah, that's my pancake. Oh, no, not the banana. No, put the banana. Oh, no. No, not the banana. Don't put the banana."
What do you think? Where do you think the banana was going to go?
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
How's this, Kip? Like, can you tell me, like, I'm trying to remember how long mobile phones have been as cool as what they are.
Huh. I mean,
have they been around for?
Well, I won. It would have been 94, 95. I won a mobile phone on Martin Malloy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in 94,
and that was cool then. I won a Nokia then, and that was as cool as it gets.
In 94, 95 was texting, was that a big deal?
No,
when did that become a big deal?
About the same time, just after that maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, texting was probably, maybe even 2000. It was a while.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, yes.
Technology just never ceases to amaze me. I was just reading in the paper that they're saying now that your smartphone is they're getting so advanced that your smartphone is going to be able to start diagnosing illnesses.
Hmm.
People can already use it for calories, they can use it for heart rate, they can use it for pedometers and that type of thing. But they're actually getting that advanced now that they reckon that you'll be able to take a picture, for example, of your eyes, and the same way that a GP would look into your eyes and go, oh, I think there might be a problem there, there, and there.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That your smartphone is going to be able to start doing that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And on a lesser scale, but equally as impressive, on Friday, I left work and I was driving back to the coast. I pulled into a service station. I was dead low on fuel. Actually did this as a bit of a test. Like, my car will tell me you've got 30 kilometres of fuel left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I don't think I've ever been under 30 kilometres of fuel.
Yeah.
But when I got onto the M1, I think I was at about 25 k's of fuel left. And I'm like, I'm in uncharted territories. But I wanted to know just how accurate this it was. Like, how does it know if you've only got 1 k of fuel left?
Yeah.
You have not been living on the edge. I constantly am on zero.
Are
I'm
you?
Just like,
oh, really?
I reckon I can probably get 50 k's out of still being on zero.
On zero?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I was. That's what I was wondering. Is after you get to zero, like how much have you got left after that?
You've got K's. What
have you got to lose by testing it? Everything.
Everything. It's so annoying if you run out.
But I was caning down the M1, and I was watching it get lower and lower, and I was driving past service stations, going, "No, there's another one coming up. I'm just going to keep going." Yeah. Anyway, when I got to about 6K, I had about 6K of fuel left. Mm. I went, no, I couldn't handle it. It was too much. So I pulled over and I went into the service station. And my car, I was told, has got a 70-litre tank. Well, it took like 74 litres of fuel.
Right.
And then I've gone to pay for it. Where's my wallet? I can't find my wallet. I ripped my car apart. I was going through my swim and stuff because I knew I swam on Friday. I knew I had my wallet then. I can't find my wallet. And I was like, must have left it at the pool. I don't know. Rang the pool. Pool didn't have it. But then I'm thinking, someone could have taken it. Didn't know. Last chance, I ring Mitch, thinking that I may have left it at work. And it's sitting on my desk at work. So I went, well, I'll get an Uber.
Yeah.
And get the Uber to pick my wallet up and drive my wallet to the service station, and I'll,
There you go. It's a good thought.
Anyway, so I've got onto the app, and I've gone 130 Commercial Road. Like, pick it up from 130 Commercial Road.
Yes.
Now, I was on the phone to Mitch. All of this happened as I was on the phone to Mitch. I booked the Uber, and then I went, hey, Mitch, it's at Pete's. Like, the Uber was at Pete's.
Yeah.
And I was going, if this is accurate, this is amazing. I said, go downstairs right now. Mitch went downstairs.
Yeah. Pete's is like 100 metres away.
100 metres away.
Yeah.
And then I could see the Uber on my app
drive
past Commercial Road.
Yeah.
And I was like, how could it possibly be this accurate?
Yeah.
I'm past Springwood. I've gone, are you out on the street now? And Mitch went, yes. And I went, well, it's a Volkswagen, and if this app is correct, he's driven past Nova and he's out the front of the Thai restaurant. And Mitch went, yep, black Volkswagen.
Yeah, wow.
It was literally that accurate that you could see it.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Have you never used Uber before?
That's what I'm thinking.
This has been happening for a while, though. Like,
have you had
to be
Uber
that
Eats?
Accurate?
Yeah, I know, but it is. Like, you can watch. What,
I know, I'm just.
You're making a point.
Ash Kiff and Lutzy.
What about this bloke that lost his leg in a shark attack up off Hinchinbrook Island?
Where's Hinchinbrook?
Hinchinbrook's not far from where my old man lives at Mission.
Far north Queensland, is it?
Hinchinbrook, I guess, is between Townsville and Cairns.
Okay.
Beautiful part of the world. Poor bloke. Well, they don't know. Probably a bull shark or a tiger shark, they're saying, but
I reckon as soon as he hit the water, like, he jumped off a rock and then bam.
Yep.
He just
jumped into the water.
Oh, my God.
He probably would have jumped on top of it. And the shark's just gone, boom. And they reckon that his mate saved him. And it was a big shark, too. Mm. It just grabbed onto his right leg, 25 years of age.
So he pretty much jumped into the jaws of it.
Yep, he's as fit as a fiddle. Muay Thai trainer. Yeah, but Muay Thai personal trainer. So he'd kick your ass. And then he's just been taken by this shark.
His third kid coming.
Oh, it's just a tragedy. They reckon that his mate saved his life. The quick thinking mates were able to, like,
tourniquet or whatever, cut the bleeding.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. God.
Yeah.
Well, unlucky is that.
Yeah, I know.
That spooks you when it happens, like, up there, though. Because you'd expect it in WA and stuff, but up there,
They do triathlons up there.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about doing it.
When my brother did the Cairns Ironman a few years ago, like
what's Nobby's, what's it called?
No. Yorkie's Knob.
Yorkie's Knob, yeah.
No, but when Luke did the Ironman, they started the swim back then, like from just outside the Cairns Harbour.
Yeah.
And Luke had the whole day ahead of him. You know, 3.8K swim, then the 180K bike, and then the marathon to finish off. And so, you know, you're nervous about that to begin with.
Yeah.
And all along the swim leg before they started, there was all these choppers that were only like, 50 or 60 metres off the water that were just flying along the swim course. And you're going, what are they doing? Mate, that's just to scare the crocs away.
Oh, was it crocs?
Oh, my God. Oh, come on.
Can you imagine
it's a hard enough day.
Having that in the back of your head?
How ridiculous is that? Sometimes if you just swim, like you're swimming out away from the shore.
Yeah.
If anything happens.
Yes.
So what do you do? There's nothing you can do.
You're exhausted.
And you go, there's safety in numbers. And you go, I've seen those videos of all the zebras crossing the river.
Yeah.
One of them gets taken.
The weak one.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Reading a couple of interesting, I know you're getting married. Geez, that's probably 6 weeks away, Kip?
Yeah, it was 7 weeks on Saturday. It was just gone, so yeah, six and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading a couple of horror stories over the the weekend.
All right.
Sorry to burst your bubble. One of them I read this morning out of the New York Post, there was a couple who, what's the guy that gets married? Bachelor? Is it the bachelor? The groomsman?
Oh, yeah.
The groom, they were at the rehearsal.
Yeah.
They were at the rehearsal. They were at the wedding rehearsal. Like, I remember having our wedding rehearsal.
Yeah, it's like a week before or something, right?
No, ours was like a day before, and I think this one was the day before too. And the two families got into a massive blue.
Oh, no.
Called the whole thing off.
Oh, man.
And he actually ended up suing her because he wanted the wedding ring back, and he got it.
Yeah, right.
He actually got the wedding ring back, and it was like some la-di-da wedding. I can't remember the value of the ring, but it was like substantial. It was like, I think it was like 70 or 80,000 bucks US. And he actually got that back.
I wonder what they lost on the day. Like, it'd be so hard to cancel all the other things you've ordered.
Well, this is the other story that I was going to bring up. Jamie Wincup, the V8 supercar driver.
Yeah.
I was reading yesterday that he was due to marry his fiancée in December, and he had everything booked, same as where you and Amber are at the moment. Like, everything set in stone.
Yep.
He even had his bachelor party, and the day after his bachelor party, called it off.
What?
Everything was paid for. The venue, the wedding dress, the everything was set in stone. And I don't know what the details were. It's none of our business. But, for whatever reason, if he got cold feet.
Frosty got cold feet?
No, Jamie Wincup.
That would have been good.
Damn it, yes. I thought it was Winterbottom.
Yeah. Well, maybe Frosty gave him cold feet at the bachelor party.
Oh, maybe.
Because Frosty would have been. Has something happened at the bachelor party?
Yeah, that's what it smells of to me.
It's understood the wedding plans were so advanced that the ceremony and reception were paid in full. And the bride-to-be, who'd bought a dream wedding dress, was completely blindsided by the shock split. He'd even celebrated his bachelor party the day before. Made his
Surely
decision the next day.
To do with that.
Something at the bachelor. I wonder if, someone got it.
Yours, Kip.
Wonder if someone got in his ears as well at the bachelor party. You know, the blokes go,
It is strange. It's the day after the bachelor party.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, do you reckon that anybody has ever, because I think I was talking to Suze about it the other week. We were talking about the weddings, about getting married. I don't know if you felt this, Mitch, but I remember when I was getting married and Jody came into the church, you go, the gravity of exactly how huge this was hit me at that moment. It's like, holy hell, this is... This is like big stuff that I'm doing here.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah. It didn't hit home until that moment?
No. Well, I actually called our wedding off at one stage.
Yeah,
I was going to have a big wedding, but it was, like, I think it was a few months before that I went, I was freaking out. I was just completely freaking out. And I went, no. And so we had to postpone it.
Yeah.
And I look back now and I was just being sort of immature, but it was like, I was like, I didn't want to have a big deal. And so then we condensed it down. We made it a really small wedding. But that moment, Lutzy, when it's happening, you go, this is huge.
Mm.
I wonder if anybody has ever run away at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Like anybody's gone, no, can't do it.
Can't do it.
I can't do it.
Pull out the last moment. Yeah, 13-24-10's our number.
Wind Cup is it's off.
Done. Done.
They've decided not to be together anymore. Well, I think it was just a postponement sort of situation.
I think that's hard to come back from, that type of postponement. God. Like if you're
oh, that's jarring, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the end of the road right there. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Ash was just reading about a couple of horror bucks parties and things just leading up to the wedding where
cold feet, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like Jamie Wincup. And you think that bloke, he's built a career on staying calm under pressure. Like he really has.
Yeah.
Life in the fast lane.
Yep.
And then for whatever reason, on the eve of his wedding, he's gone, no, I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm done.
And that was the day after his bucks night.
Day after his bucks.
Nathan, our Chermside West. Now, Nathan, what happened? Is this your bucks night? Who's this?
So my brother, Peter, was best man to my other brother, Daniel, and his controlling fiancée was very unlike in our family. So my brother locked him up in a roll cage that he got from his workplace until he agreed not to marry her.
Oh, what?
Everyone got my brother that was supposed to be marrying the bride.
Yeah.
Got him heavily intoxicated and wouldn't let him out of the roll cage at the Bucks party until he agreed not to marry her.
How did that end up? Like, did he call it off?
Everything got called off. He realised that he made a better decision because he was being controlled.
Oh, wow.
And got out of it. Obviously lost a lot of money out of wedding plans that had already been put through, but of the whole part of the wedding.
So he's happy with the decision that he made?
Yes.
He went, you know what, these blokes that have rolled me up in
else and he's happier.
He's married, okay.
All right.
So you turned his bucks night into an intervention and locked him in a cage. That's unbelievable. What are we doing tonight, guys? Where are we going? You're going in a cage.
If he had gone on and married her, he would have had to have had new friends.
Oh, yeah.
He had to
and
make
family,
a decision.
Like,
yeah, everyone. Yeah.
Oh, man. Tash out of Morayfield.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good. Did you have a last-minute decision?
Yes, I kind of did have the feeling that I didn't want to get married for quite some time before the wedding. Yeah. And my best friend had planned the hen's party and everything, so I went through with all of that. But in the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. I was very scared. I was only 21.
Yeah.
So I'm nearly 40 now. And yeah, I just decided that it wasn't for me. And it wasn't until after the hen's night, I ended up telling my mum.
Why the hen's night? What happened on the hen's night?
Well, I had to do it. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. It was just a funny story because one of the strippers had said to me, he brought me up on stage and he put me under a blanket on the stage and the crowd's going wild. And he actually said to me, Tash, I bet you I could change your mind in getting married. And I said, my mind's already changed. I'm not getting married.
I'm not getting married.
He kind of freaked out, actually. It was quite funny. But nothing happened. Absolutely not. And, just a funny story.
I've already changed my mind, but dance.
No hen's party for Amber Kip. Call it off. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. All right, Lutzy, I've decided I'm getting into my social media.
Yes.
So I've just launched my Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, mate.
I know I'm late to the party, but I've just started up on Instagram. I've just made my profile pic.
Who are you? What's your handle? What are you?
Ashley Bradnam.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Ashley Bradnam. I've made my profile pic and I've put my first picture up, which is 99 bikes. I've got a bike from 99 bikes.
Straight into a mark out. That's interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Become like Lutzy already.
Sponsors credit.
It only took you 1 minute to get a plug in.
Yeah, first one. I will say that bike, I was planning on doing the Cairns Ironman with that bike, which is in June. And I've just had to delay that because I went out and I got fitted up by Nick and Wayne out at 99 bikes. Yeah. And I was going to like get right into the bike riding, which I am, but I've just decided I don't have enough time to get ready for that in June. So I'm going to delay that and see uh, the, I'm going to do the half Iron Man in Cairns and do the full in Bustleton. And that's what I'm actually going to use my Instagram account for. I'm going to use it as my trip to doing an Iron Man at the end of the year. And so I'm going to be putting up a lot of pictures of my training and all of that type of stuff.
I like what you've written there. I've got 99 problems, but my bike ain't one.
Yes, that's clever. It's a nice, clever way to start. 42 likes straight off the bat, too. Yeah,
but Lutzy, I was happy with that, but then I wanted to tap your creative brain here because you're very good when it comes to this type of stuff.
Yeah,
because
2,000 followers you got. How do you got 2,000 followers and you've started?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Well, the show helps.
I've got a problem. I can't follow you. My link. I've got getting some link not allowed issue. I don't know what that is.
He's blocked you.
Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't know how to block. But no, Lutzy, I wanted to tap your creative brain because I've noticed on Instagram, like if you go to my Instagram page, it just goes Ashley Bradnam, okay?
Yes.
But I've noticed that the cool kids, like you...
What have I got?
You've got like a little description of yourself. Now, what have you got as your description kit? Like how much did you put...
I've got for mine. What's mine?
I'm restarting my phone as we speak.
Yeah.
Like, jeez, I've thrown some BS.
You've got something like
breakfast host, Nova 106.9. Yeah. Writer, purveyor of truth.
Purveyor of truth?
Like, I don't even know what that means. And how are you the purveyor of truth? That's
and my photo is not a picture of me.
Is that an ironic lie?
my photo is, it's just a crossword and with 23 across and I've written Lutzy into it. You know what I mean? Like, see like that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So what have you got? You've got writer and purveyor of truth. Now, I don't know what that means, Kip, but it sounds wanky and sort of cool at the same time.
It's something that you want. You don't understand it, but you want it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what could you do for me? Like, what's something for your thing? Yes. I want something not as wanky as that, but something sort of catchy that I can put without being overly cruel. You can be cruel to a point, but...
I know where you...
Do you want some thinking time? We'll go to traffic?
Give me.
Ash has just started up his Instagram. Mm. You're trying to find something, Lutzy, for his description.
Yeah, I've started with work in progress, .. Mm-hmm. And then something after that. Because, you know, you've had...
Work in progress. Oh, okay.
So that's where I'm heading with it. Right. I'm trying to think of the back end for that.
You got anything, Kit?
Yeah, work in progress.
Work in progress.
I like it to be a little along the lines of purveyor of truth. It's got to be a little bit.
I don't know what that means. Purveyor of truth. Maybe I'll steal that. I might just put down what Lutzy's got.
You can't put exactly what I've got.
Purveyor of truth.
Purveyor of truth.
Purveyor of truth. Thief of sayings.
Come on, give me something.
Okay, I'm working on it. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. So I've got, I don't know, I've gone off work in progress. So maybe work in progress stands alone, then under it.
For my Instagram.
Yeah, for your Instagram.
Description.
Mm. I've got this one now. Tried being myself, now outsourcing.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty strong.
Tried
being myself, maybe. Now outsourcing.
Oh, man, that's pretty good. I tried being myself.
I wish I had thought of that for myself, frankly.
Now outsourcing. Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Kathleen
that's
out of...
That's almost profound.
That's actually strong.
That's very good.
Out of Yarrabilby. You had a thought, Kathleen?
I do. Hey, boys. Yeah. Ash, aren't you, like, weird occupations on your kids' birth certificates or something?
That's right.
Yes, I am.
Bush poet.
Let me think. For some reason, when you have kids, you've got to put your occupation down on the birth certificates. For Levi's, I said I was a poet.
Mm.
For Sydney, I said I was a shepherd.
There you go.
And for Archie, I said I was a, I think I said I was a life coach or something.
Well, that's perfect.
Well, you could do a struggling poet, a lost shepherd, and... Something else for the lifesaver life coach. Something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a
poet, shepherd life coach.
That's perfect. I mean, that will make you half of people. Actually, probably half people on Instagram have actually already got those.
Yeah, they weren't going to take it.
Hey, I put a video up on Saturday night on Insta. It's weird that the track of conversation, the show today, because we were talking about hens days earlier. Amber had our friend Emma. Emma and Troy are getting married, so she had a hens day Saturday, which started at 10.
Yeah, right.
So by the time she got home. at 7.
God, that's an early start for a hen.
9 hours.
What are they doing?
A lot of champagne.
They're drunk by midday.
Yeah, that flower. She had flowers in her hair.
Oh, yeah, I saw the video, actually. Now I remember.
Yeah, so I put this video up because she gets home at 7 and goes, she's looking at a little jug, you know, the little Jack Russell pug cross we've got, Suki. She's just like Simba out of The Lion King. I want to do The Lion King, right? So,
what does that mean?
I haven't seen it. But...
So, in the movie The Lion King, there's this big moment when Simba, the baby lion, gets held up above the pride, and everyone sort of rejoices. It's that the big Lion King song.
So we don't know what the words are.
No, yeah. Obviously. So I lined up that song and
you reenacted it.
And so Amber's holding Sukiyaki, our dog, right, and waving her around as though there's a big crowd.
But did she ask to be filmed doing it?
She did not. No.
Did she ask me to put it on Breakfast Radio?
Not this. This has had more
or Instagram.
This has had more views than any video I've ever put up.
Yeah, it was going nuts when you first put it up. It was like 1,500.
It went
or from something.
Yeah, it went thousands in a couple of minutes. And it's,
I mean, you've combined puppies with an attractive woman.
Yeah, she's wearing
and
a
the
good
Lion
dress.
King. I mean, a drunk attractive woman.
Yes,
a cute dog. The Lion King.
The Lion King.
I mean, it's a perfect storm. I mean, how could it not work?
You know what's bizarre? I got it because I tagged it in Facebook as well, so you know you can do the two. And I got a message from Facebook saying it's been pulled for copyright.
Oh, could you put the...
Because the Lion King song,
you put the song on. Who the hell was looking at that? Someone's dobbed on you.
Someone's dobbed.
Someone... How else would I kill you?
Who's the knob jockey? He went, you'll tell you what.
So who would do that?
Get your permission to use that song?
Yes, yeah, maybe it's your ex.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Hey, Ralphie out of Stafford, 13-24-10, if ever you want to be involved in the show. But Kip had put a video of Amber up on Instagram using the theme song, was it?
Yeah, it was the birthing scene, the big birthing scene from The Lion King, where they hold the baby aloft, and she reenacted it with our puppy.
You're right.
Yes, your fiancé did.
And then Facebook took it down. We're saying it might be some copyright deal that someone's dobbed you in on, but Ralphie reckons that it mightn't be that sinister. What do you say, Ralphie?
Yeah, it's probably algorithms, mate. Because that's what they do with all that sort of stuff nowadays.
Right.
What's that mean, though?
So whatever you watch or look at, whatever it might be, and they got all these programs now that pick up everything. You know, Lucky's the one who should be careful, mate, because those 1902 numbers and the 0005 numbers.
I've already been done once for that, Ralphie.
Yeah, when you were 15.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Hey, just to cap off on my Instagram, which I've launched today, Lutzy. For my little bio, Susie suggested, because I'm going to use it as a journey to my Ironman.
Yes.
Later in the year in Busselton, she suggested I put Ashley Bradham Tin Man, because I'm not quite an Ironman. Yeah. I'm not going to go with that, Susie, but I see what you're doing.
That's clear for life.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
That is so clear.
And I haven't used yours, but I've put my one up there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look.
Okay.
Yeah. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Does anybody feel strongly about the big story going around today is that they're looking at taxing soft drinks and banning junk food at places like, I assume, Suncorp Stadium, like government buildings. Well, I don't know. Like, they're saying that they're going to increase the cost of soft drink, for example, which I don't even know how you could increase the cost of soft drink.
We already get rolled.
We get smashed on soft drinks.
Yep. What about decreasing the cost of something that's good for you? What about making water 50 cents? Why? How do you charge $3.50 for a bottle of water where we know that costs them 10 cents? And instead of charging us $5 for a Coke, make water cheap.
Well, why make it all the right thing? Why is it that you can go to the States and a can of Coke, for example, is like 80 cents?
Yeah.
And you come over here, you go to some service stations, a can of Coke is like $3.50. How much more can you charge for a can of Coke?
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's ridiculous. It is.
I've been a campaigner for this for anti-campaigner for some time now about two things, making sweets or anything sort of sugary more expensive, and secondly, taking the fun out of lollies by making them fat and sugar-free.
Get started on your sugar-free lollies.
Why are they taxing fun? It's ridiculous.
Well, nutrition.
Just do your job, parents. Stop your fat little kid from eating lollies all the time.
All right, so it turns out Lutzi's passionate about it.
I'm very passionate about this. Don't tax the rest of us. Now, which enjoy our soft drinks.
Which lollies got ruined? That's fine.
Every lolly except Alan's milk bottle. Every single lolly other than Alan's milk bottle.
Well, you must be the only person that likes Alan's milk bottle. Like, milk bottles are the
not the Alan's.
If you have party mix lollies, the milk bottles are always the milk bottles and whatever tastes like licorice are always the only ones
because
that are left. Because they suck.
Even in those ones, they're not the originals. You got to get the actual ones. Strawberries and creams. You remember you used to take the top off the strawberry and cream and it'd taste like strawberry and then you'd eat the cream and it'd taste like cream. Now it's just plastic. And they're expensive. And they're going to get more expensive.
Well, what they're saying is that nutritional experts say the answer to Australia's obesity epidemic, and it is an epidemic, they've said that the latest figures reveal that 2 in 3 Australians are overweight or obese. And so the experts say that the answer is taxing sugary food and drinks and banning junk food in school canteens and sports venues. So that would mean if you went to Suncorp Stadium, for example,
what are you gonna
to watch the Broncos play, I don't know.
Well, they don't give you any other options. That's the other thing. Like, I remember going to Broncos thinking, okay, I'm not going to eat anything bad tonight. And then you go there and your only option is burger or pie.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying, Kip. That's exactly what they're saying, because I guess they're saying that you've got no other option. I don't know. There's going to be a salad. There'll be a kale milkshake.
Come on.
There'll be kale milkshake.
Go back to your mates with those green shakes.
Hey, guys.
Ridiculous. What's the score, guys?
Hey, come on.
Getting my Vita Greens.
Hopefully those Fords will toughen up at the second half.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
We're just talking about it's front page news today, the junk food ban. That they're talking about lifting taxes or putting taxes on sugary drinks, anything sort of fast food like. For places like Suncorp or the Gabba?
Yeah. And I guess
schools?
I don't like the logic behind the fact that you just go throw tax at it. Mm. Like, what if this doesn't work? A Gatorade's already worth $5.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Like, how much more can you jack these things up?
Agreed.
Chris
don't stop me. I don't even know where to go with this.
Chris out of Hamilton, your thoughts?
Yeah, I play sport. I'm slim, I'm fit. Yeah. I just don't see why when I want to indulge, I'm going to have to go pay $7 for a can of Coke or $5 for a chocolate bar.
Exactly, Chris.
Not fair because people can't look after themselves.
Mm. Exactly. Or look after their kids.
Yeah, that's it.
Look, I'm not a parent, but it doesn't seem that hard. That's what I'm saying. All right?
Look after kids.
Let's stop your kid having 3 cans a day.
Right. Well, I thought you were saying just talking about parenting in general.
I went to school. I didn't have 3 cans of Coke a day. I could hold myself back.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, you were wonderfully mothered, though. You were wonderfully mothered. You still are. I mean, you're a grown man now, and you're still wonderfully
she's an
mothered.
Angel.
Jamie from Alex Hills, what do you reckon, Jamie?
Yeah, I agree with you, boys. I mean, it's all about parenting. It's not necessarily about taxes. We can prove that that doesn't work, can't we, with alcohol and cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's just heaps of taxes. They're just more expensive, but everyone's still...
Yeah, you still find a way to get them.
Yeah.
Drew, out of Chandler.
Oh, g'day, mate. So I think this is a reactive measurement. So what if they did the other way? So what if they did everyone that plays sport, you know, pays a sporting fee, don't they, the membership fee or gym fee? Mm. What if that's a tax deduction? Oh, man. So what if they'd encourage people to go into it?
Now you're talking.
So, yeah.
That is such a great idea.
And the other way is, okay, if you're going to tax... like sugar and everything else, okay, do that. But where is that money going to go? Mm. It should pay for physio teachers back in primary schools. Remember when we were growing up, you had PE every day?
Yeah.
But we don't do that anymore with our kids. So why don't we do that? Get movement literacy and PE teachers back in the primary school, get our kids moving. Mm. Then the sugar's not the problem. It's the lack of movement is the problem.
Yeah,
it's the biggest thing.
So what you're saying is, like I've just signed Sid up down at Burley Rugby League this year, Junior Rugby League. So the money that you'd pay for the rego for that could be a tax deduction because you're putting your kids into sport.
Yeah, so you're encouraging kids to be athletic or in sport. And it's because the health system that the government are paying, reactive stuff, it is billions and billions of dollars. This wouldn't be that much, but at least it would encourage people to do sport and even people just to do gym. So it could just be normal people. You, mate, when you go up and do your swimming lessons, you know, you should be able to claim that.
Yeah. I reckon that's a really good thought.
Yeah, good thoughts.
And then get the soft drink, like when you finish a game of footy. What did you get after you finish a game of footy? A can of Coke. Get it back into the system.
And lollies with sugar in it.
Lollies.
You got water and orange, mate, didn't you?
Yeah.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.